Father, Lord, we open this precious book again. We thank you for every line. Thank you for every verse. Thank you for every word. And Lord, we know this word is the written word that reveals the living word, which makes it possible for us, when we receive the Holy Spirit of God after being saved, to understand the written word, which becomes the light of God in our soul as is manifested in this world. Lord, God is the light. And yet when Jesus gives us life in him, then we have the light of God. And then we have the Spirit of God. But Lord, we're still in a dark world, and this dark world, the light that God gives us through his word, and that's where it's at. This book is God's word that shines in our heart to see things in the relationship with God, who is light. And Lord, we find ourselves going to that light, not afraid of it. And we find ourselves knowing what God is saying when that light is shown, what we can do when things come to our life. Maybe we didn't know, maybe we didn't know, and just somehow or another, a moment failed to be who we should be. And know we can come to God and ask him to forgive us, and he will. And that's where the blood of Christ keeps cleansing us while we're walking this side of eternity until we get home. Please open this up, Father, to hearts the best way I can give it. I've been in this weeks now, Lord, you know that. And I'm looking to that some people will get it like God will want to get, because it's going to revolution some of their lives of what they're going to be doing for you. It's going to bring peace and joy to their heart, because they're going to see their soul is settled if it's in Jesus Christ. And it's going to be that in turn will help us live better for thee, even though we have a lot to learn until we get home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to go back. If you want to turn to 1 John with me, you can for just a moment, because we're going to be going to Hebrews chapter 9 to start with. Because we're going to go back, and I said this. The question came up, why did God use blood when it comes to salvation? Why is the blood so important when it comes to salvation? Why couldn't God, since there has been going around this saying that back a few years ago, where one particular major known minister in this nation said that actually you weren't saved by the blood of Christ, you were saved by the death of Christ. And yet, if he had not died, and therefore we could never have been saved. But that's true when it comes to the gospel, and we're going to see that. You've got to have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for him to be who he's supposed to be, or who he was, not supposed to be, who he was, to be able to deal with sin. But when you and I look at him and see who he was, then it's a good thing. I don't have to know some things to be saved, except Jesus Christ is Savior. Jesus Christ's blood can cleanse me. I don't have to know a lot of things about what salvation is, other than Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior if we trust him as Savior. I know this. That simple faith in receiving Christ as Savior brings about simple salvation to us, which cost God his Son. I know that. But I want to tell you, I've found this out. If I don't know more about what he's done after I'm saved and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, then I'll find myself not being who I need to be for the Lord as I grow 20 years from then. Because it's got to be applied. And I believe that with all my heart. I go back, because the things I see every day is this flesh, and you do too. And God has given us a living age today. We understand this flesh better than any other time. And so when I look at this flesh now, I realize I can't imagine what it'd be like if I'd been born as a baby and still be like a baby around a playpen somewhere or another. I had to grow in this life. As I learned and moved in this life aggressively, then I adjusted as I grew. I adjusted as I grow. I knew some things to do, some things not to do. In this case, you can see that because you see the flesh. I knew there's some things that are harmful. I know some things are not harmful. I know this, I can make some things to do just because I want to, even though it may not like it. But at the same time, I know there's some things I must not do, even though I'm in a body of flesh without even knowing God. But I had to learn that. And what an amazing thing it is that God sits to say to my heart in the hours of study, especially along the night of my study at home, he seemed to say, son, just keep in mind, if you get to a place you can't understand, look at the physical life and see what you had to do there. It has nothing to do in the sense of what I'm telling you, other than the fact you understand the closest thing to you is your physical life. You can see that every day. By the way, every one of us can see that every day, and many people see us in that every day. But we can't see that with the physical eye. The spiritual life is a manifestation of life of God. And he doesn't force it on us, but when we receive it, when he comes in, he gives us his Holy Spirit. And he said this, just as much so as I apply myself to the physical life to learn the things that I need to do and not do to get here, whatever I have to do in the physical life, school, whatever it was that I had to do, if I apply myself with the Word of God like he wants to, then that spiritual man will begin to grow in grace and knowledge. And you find you can't help but control this flesh, even though their light is shining. There may be a speck here and there. And that's where 1 John tells us, that cleansing blood of Christ. And he tells us in these, and you look at these first few verses in 1 John before we get to Hebrews chapter 9. Now, the reason for Hebrews chapter 9 is because when you look in Hebrews chapter 9, you find that the writer has given us instructions of what happened in the Old Testament when it comes to the tabernacle and temple, and why God gave them that system with blood that sin could be atoned for until Jesus Christ himself should come. As a matter of fact, if you really look at Hebrews chapter 9 and what is said there, you'll find that what he's doing in the age of grace is going back 1,500 years. Now, he's doing that in grace after coming to the Messiah. And the writer's going back 1,500 years and bringing up that Leviticus system in Moses' day that God gave Moses at Mount Sinai had to do with the tabernacle, which was while they were running through the wilderness, a tent that was could be broke down and moved. It's a traveling means of worship through the tabernacle. And then when God got them into the land, he made a permanent place called the temple. And there he did the same thing as he had in the tabernacle, except he made it more elaborate in the temple. And in the temple was the same thing process. Even though it was bigger than the tabernacle, what God did in the temple was the same thing for Israel that he was doing in the tabernacle. Except it was not wandering with them in the wilderness. It was settled in the land that God had promised them, which we know was Jerusalem, the holy city of God. And so from there it stayed. And for 1,500 years from the tabernacle to Jesus Christ came, it stayed like that for the nation of Israel. Then when Jesus came, that was done away with completely. And Hebrews 9 begins to show the comparison between the two. And then as I get this in my mind and studying, all of a sudden I begin to see why God used blood for the purpose, because that was the life of the flesh. And it just begins to make a lot of sense. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews, the question in Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to look at all 28 verses of that. It talks about the tabernacle of the wilderness on earth. And now it goes on to say certain things in comparing that to what had happened when Jesus had done, which he tells us is actually fulfilling the... That's a shadow, the type of what God has in heaven where the real temple's at and where Jesus Christ had to go. We said before, you can't find where Jesus Christ, he was the high priest, by the way. Not only he was Savior, not only was he a prophet, but he was the great high priest. And you don't find it's a great high priest ever entered into the, we don't even know he ever went into the holy place. No, we know he didn't go into the holy of holies. It's not mentioned anywhere in the New Testament. And I've got news for you. When he rose from the dead, and when he went back to be with the Father, he had access to the most holy place. And by the way, that's where he had to go for us. Because if he had went there and applied the blood, if God hadn't accepted his blood, you and I still couldn't be saved. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important. Now, isn't it an amazing thing? I'm amazed. I appreciate some of the writers that have written about the Pope coming. My understanding is that I didn't see the speech all the way, but those that did, they said that far as to the Congress, he never said anything about Jesus Christ when he addressed the Congress. And another place he said to some of the bishops and so forth, he mentioned Christ one time, but not in the form as being the Savior of the world. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say something. I want to tell you, I know when I say these things, I'm going to get blasted about it. Not here, but I want to tell you something. There's no way in this world a person could be authorized as the vicar of Christ and never mention his name. No way in this world. That means he's Christ. He is the Christ that in the absence of Christ. He is the representation of Christ. And therefore, unless he mentions in some way that has to do with some physical relationship in the sense of, you know, golden rule or something like that. No, Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That means he is the Lamb of God. That means that his blood was accepted. And that means that the first four thoughts we need to know about Christ. Thank God he tells us how we want to live. Thank God he gives us a lot of things and information about life. Thank God he did give us a golden rule. There's things like that, but first thing and foremost in his ministry was the fact to accomplish a redemption for you and I, and the message in the age of grace is the gospel of Jesus Christ, was the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way a person gets saved. That's what this nation needs to hear, but they're not hearing it now, see. They're not hearing it now. So as I go through, let me go back and just bring up to date. Now, we're going to, we need to see in the Bible why it's necessary for the blood of Jesus to be shed, and why without that blood you could not be saved. And we're going to learn why the blood has saving power. And as we study through this in the next few weeks, we're going to be on the subject of the importance of the blood of Christ and the fact that it does have power to save. Now, I tell you this, you know, I'm not much, and I'm not much a speaker, but I believe with all my heart. I'm going to preach what God shows me that I believe, because that's the only thing. Time is too short, and we need to learn more about what's happened to us than just the fact we're going to heaven. Because if we think, some people think they're going to heaven, what we're hearing today, and you know how to get saved, you're going to find a lot of folks not going there and think they're going. Right. It's not because they can't go if they go to, but the door that they're supposed to go through, they're not going through. They've created another door. Or somebody else has created another door for them to go through. Jesus said, I am the door. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man comes to the Father but by me. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way in the world you can preach about Christ without preaching that. Amen. Because he spoke verbally that way. So when I think about the next few weeks, we see that there are those who said that blood didn't have a whole lot to do with it, but you're going to find out that it did. Now, some have said that it's the death of Jesus that saves us and not the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's why I want to go to John chapter 1, a few verses here. And I was going to read one verse, and I got in. I said, Lord, no way. I've got to take and read the whole thing and talk about it a little bit. Now, before I do that, let me go back, and I'm going to show you what led to this. When I got saved and when you got saved, I have a memory. I was a member of church 3 years before I was saved, and I thought I was as much saved as anybody was. You know what brought the difference? We had a man who preached Romans 10:9-10, 6:23, Romans 3:23. And suddenly I began to realize, hey, walking out and signing a paper don't mean make you a child of God. But because I'm like everybody else, I know what it is for to say, well, I think I'm all right. Because I felt that in the church, and you could, hey, you can look around a lot of Christians. And they say they're Christian, and if you're doing anything at all, you say, man, I must be a Christian. I'm doing a whole lot more than they are. That's the way Satan deceives us. But when I began to realize, then I began to ask questions. I'm going to go through that testimony about ask questions about this. I mean, why am I not a Christian now? Why should I not be a Christian now rather than understanding these verses about the wages of sin is death, the gifts of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Well, why don't I say, oh, have sin come short of the glory of God? Well, I believe that. I wouldn't doubt that I was a sinner, but walking out, what makes a difference? Surely, you see, when there was a time years ago, think with me just a moment. There's a time years ago that when a man got up and preached the Bible, and by the way, in those days, they did preach the Bible. But what happened was, it's like most people got just to the fact that if I said, or if a person, let's suppose we were back 50, 60 years ago, maybe 70 years ago, and that man was preaching, and he was preaching to you. And you got up and you preached a gospel message. And all of a sudden at the end, when he gave an invitation, about 10 or 12 of you came down here and said, I want to be saved. Now, the thought was this. If they came after the message, they must want to be saved. So therefore, if they wanted to be saved, they must be saved. So what do? We have you come down and sign your name and tell you, thank God you're saved. The fact you walked out, because didn't the Lord say walk out, you know, make it public? And that's what we looked at. And now we're going to baptize you. Be baptized? Yes, sir. Well, you must be saved. And I walked out. I must be saved. Why? I walked out after a gospel message. That don't get it, though, folks. That don't get it. And then when I began to hear the message that convicted my heart. And by the way, this book will convict us if it's proclaimed. Because it's not the power that we have, it's the Word of God. That's the reason the Word of God has to be read and taught and studied, because it's the Word that changes us. It's not words in secular that changes us like it is in the physical life, and we make the decision where to or not to. It's the Word of God that will change us because it intervenes into the inner of us, and when you really get saved, the Holy Spirit's there to even make it even more important. He's there to convict you, and you're going to see that as we look at these verses. So when I come to that time, all of a sudden, I say, well, I walked out. that weren't enough. But then a morning when I really heard the gospel, and I was running again because I'd already been walked the aisle, when I went to my car and started to leave, I couldn't get out of the church parking lot. And I remember it. I don't know what all I said, but I know I was broken before God. And I cried out to God Almighty to save my soul. And when I did that, I said, Lord, I'm going to go next week, and I walked out. And that's what I did. I said, Lord, I'm going to be baptized. Would you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? I made a profession of faith, walked the aisle, and they wanted to be baptized. And because they had the baptism on the day I was playing ball, I played ball. And they came to the ball field to get to baptize. And I said, I'd rather not tonight. I'm going to play this ball game. Boy, I was really saved on it. Wasn't I really saved? But I'm going to tell you one thing. When I got saved, they couldn't have kept me from being baptized. If they had to baptize, I'd have baptized myself. But I was eager to. And by the way, we didn't have these. They didn't nobody have these unless you're the first church in town. Right. You had to go out to ponds, and rivers, and creeks. And the water was cool even in the summertime. And another thing is, too, right where I was baptized at in a pond, we used a tobacco barn as a changing room. Had one for the women, one for the men. That's what we'd used. And when I got baptized, about 3 weeks later, they found moccasins in the same place we were baptized. And I said then, I don't know if I'd ever go out there again, but I'm glad I didn't have to. I'm baptized one time. That's all that matters. But what I'm saying is, there's a difference. It's a difference when you experience that. Now, when I was physically born physically, learning about the life helped me adjust to my life, where I'm at now physically. I also realized when I was born spiritually, growing in grace and knowledge, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, and that knowledge helped me to adjust to the spiritual life. But I got to thinking, somehow or another, we feel that I can adjust spiritually a lot faster than I did physically. But I found out it's not true. If you move too fast spiritually to adjust, you accept things that maybe God didn't even say because someone told you that. You adjust physically as you grow. You know, I like what Paul said. I mean, what the writer said in Hebrews, and I think Paul wrote that, about when you say that he fed a milk instead of meat. You could not give me a steak when I was 3 or 4 years old. Not expect me to eat it like an adult, because I couldn't. But I tell you what, I could down the milk. And so you could too. But you don't need milk now as much as you did when you were little. And I began to see, and it amazes me, God left some analysis and allegories and metaphors to look at in life to grasp something if you understand. And by the way, I think this time we're going to be held more responsible than ever before because we understand the physical body better than any man's ever known it in time. It's been written about every situation in life. And so when I began to grow in spiritual knowledge, now the knowledge that I had growing physically, it came from dad and around me in secular and school and Sunday school. Even in Sunday school, some things about those wonderful stories about the Old Testament and those wonderful stories about Christ and at certain times of the year. But as the knowledge that helps me in the physical life to adjust the physical life, then the knowledge helped me understand why God's blood of Jesus Christ is so important today. It didn't happen. Now, when I received Christ to say, I just received him. But I'll be honest with you, I walked the aisle and they said, have you received Christ? I asked everyone for a baptism. He said, sure, yes, yes. Now, I'm glad I didn't have to understand all the pros and cons about that to get saved. I just had to mean what I meant. I'm glad salvation is simple when it comes to receiving Christ as Savior. But you better be sure you receive him. Amen. Unless you be a reprobate. And so what happens is there, once you receive him, you start out to obey. Now, a lot of times people say, well, I got saved, now I know it all. It's an amazing thing. I think I was there one time. You know, I got saved now. Man, you know, I just opened my mouth and let it fly. I've told one time, you know, did God give you words to say? You just go and speak for him. And I found out I don't have that much knowledge up here without being a recorder that records over and over the same thing. And I've been here for some years, and you think now I still haven't got far from that already because I say so many things. But you can't preach the Word of God without repeating things because we learn by repetition. And that happens down through life. And so now the knowledge helps us understand why God's blood in Jesus Christ is so important. And it is today. I realize that more so than ever before. Now look at me in 1 John. And I'm going to go here, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 9. But in 1 John, if you notice verse 1, I'm going to just take this and make some comments and go through. Listen, John said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, John starts out this epistle. This is some 64 years after he wrote the Gospel of John. Now, if you go back and you study the Gospel of John, you'll find that he's writing and now in life of how he's applying things that he learned in John when he wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying here, not only, I didn't have a dream of this thing. It wasn't something that came up in my mind. Notice what he said. He said at this particular time, marker here, he said that which was from the beginning. You know, in John 1, he starts, in the beginning was God, and Word was God. Remember that in John 1:1? He said, was in the beginning, which we have heard. He spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. Which we have seen, not only did he hear, but he saw that he was who he said he was with our eyes. Which we have looked upon, even at his resurrection, he looked upon him. Our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, I like this because you remember what the Lord told Thomas about touch him, feel him. He told the apostles the same thing. He could do the same thing in the upper room that day. So John, he said, listen, not only did we see him, we heard him, we walked with him, we were with him 3.5 years. He said, but I want you to know, you talking about handling him. We handled him before, but when he rose from the dead, we handled him. That's one thing over here to be able to shake hands with Brother Tyson. But it'd be another thing if he rose from the dead and me shake his hand. So John is saying, listen, 64 years later, he's writing this epistle to lay out something about the child of God so we can understand what has happened to us when we get saved. And watch what he says. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which comes from the word of life in verse 1, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He said, the light who is God the Father, and know this eternal life, which is the word of life, has been manifested. Notice he said, showed unto you that eternal life. For the life was manifested that we have seen it and bear witness and showed you that eternal life. He said, we have pointed you to Jesus Christ, in so many words, that he is that life. Watch what he said. Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In other words, he was with the Father. He came, and we know birth and how he came. He lived 33.5 years. The last 3.5 years of his life, he did this work that God had called him to do. We saw that, and we bear witness that he manifests this life to us. And notice it's in, the Father did it, and it'd be through his Son. Now watch, verse 3. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, this eternal life is the word of God. We know the living word reveals the written word. And he talks about that this is what we've seen, we've declared to you. We're not telling you something in turn that we drew up in our mind. We've seen this. Not only did we see it physically, but we saw when God, the Holy Spirit, came, how to apply it spiritually in this life so others could see it in the physical life, what we had spiritually of that world. Then notice he said, and these things write we unto you, why? That your joy may be full. He's talking about that this is with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we wrote these things. We wrote John. He wrote this epistle, 2 John. He wrote the very book of Revelation, 3 John, Revelation. He said, we wrote these things unto you that your joy may be full. This is written that you, as not as a child of God. He's not talking about the world here. He's talking about those who have been saved. That your joy may be full. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that means simply this. If a person is truly saved and he's trying himself to dabble in the world, he's going to be miserable there sooner or later. He'll not have no joy. Let me tell you something. You've been living long enough to know the joy of this world is not really joy. It's temporary. Joy of this world won't bring you peace when you see a loved one you fix to put in the ground and wonder where they're at if you don't know anything about the Lord. Things will not make joy to your heart there. But I'll tell you this. I had a call today. I thank God back a few years ago. A person had a loved one that died. Terrible death. And I was talking to him. Had prayer with him. And I told him to say, I said, look, I want to say something to you. You won't understand probably right now, but I want you to tell me when it happens. And he said, well, I said, there's somewhere down the road that you're going to have to meet someone or someone want to talk to you that God has brought you through this and they need your help. And I want you to do something for me. I said, I want you to call me when it happens. He looked up. I said, no, I mean that. I want you to call. I know right now you're going through a valley. I don't know. I wasn't wanting to be there. It was bad. It happened to his family. And even though I know the Lord, I'd hate to have to face it, put it that way. But you're not going through this right now without feeling God's strength. This person was saved. And I want you to tell me that I want you to promise you call me when the day comes that all of a sudden if someone crosses your path that happens where you have been touched to help that individual. He said, I'll do that. This was probably 10 years ago. He called me today. He said, Brother, I'm going to tell you what, it happened. I said, right? Yeah, somebody got killed in an accident. A young man. In the accident, the family just couldn't hardly take it, and his wife really had a hard time with it. And he had a chance this morning, someone called him, told him about it. And he said, she'd listen. And they said, I believe she would. You've been through this. And he told me, he spent over an hour with her. And when I left, she had a different feeling than when I went. And I remember what you said. And I called you today. Let you know it happened. Folks, don't tell me. Only God can give you that peace that passes understanding when you're facing next to someone who you love real well and suddenly they're zapped out of your life. The world can't give you that. The world can't give you that. And somebody who goes through, that's what the Lord says in 1 Corinthians, you know, that when you go through things, I will read it for you here. It sounds like a funeral service, doesn't it? But it's not. Look with me in 2 Corinthians. You remember? The Lord said this, verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed be our God. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Watch this. Who comfort us in all our tribulation. That's all our trials, our troubles, our problems. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. Isn't that a wonderful verse of Scripture? I'll tell you what you do next time you face it. I tell my own self this. It's easier to talk than it is to do it. You go to that verse of Scripture and say, God, I don't understand this, but I believe it all in my heart. You're going to use it for your glory, and you're going to use me somewhere or another, somebody I may not even know or do know. You're going to use me. When that time comes, they're going to ask me the question about something, and I'm going to be able to give comfort to them because you comforted me. It works, folks. Can I tell you a story I've told before? It fits here. Maybe some have heard it. If you've heard it, go to sleep. It'll be all right. If you hadn't heard it, listen. My wife and I had a family in our church lost a child years ago. I think she was 12. Yeah, 12. And it was a freak accident what happened. And she and I went to the mother and parents and went back in the back bedroom, was sitting on the bedroom, and I got my Bible and I read it. Verses of Scripture comfort. We had prayer. I believe we helped the lady. I really do. But she was so much grief. She just had so much grief on her. I'll be honest with you. Folks, listen. Don't you know our Heavenly Father knows sometimes we face things we don't understand. And we have so much grief that we probably don't even listen to Him while we're grieving. We're looking for someone else. Or something else, until God adjusts us and let us readjust to know He was there all the time. We had through prayer. We was fixing to get up to leave. And suddenly, I'll never forget it, Mother won't either. Suddenly, a lady came in the door and asked where she was at and came back, came to the bedroom door. And suddenly, their eyes met. This lady had lost a child just like this mother had just lost hers. They didn't say a thing. They just went to each other and grabbed each other and cried and cried and cried. Now, listen, this is a powerful book, you know that. It can bring peace that passes understanding into a lot of things. But when we're hurting, we're not really looking much for this. I'm sorry. There's enough human being in us at times. It isn't that we abandon God. It isn't that we don't believe God. But I'm going to tell you something. We're geared to physical things. And there's a comfort. And my wife and I talked to each other. She said, you know what? That lady did more for her at that moment than we did. Now, what we did helped her later. Because the Word of God, well, you can't read the Word of God without it helping. Somewhere or another, it's going to do something. But when a heart's hurting, it's kind of hard to understand. Because when something hits you, Lord, I don't know why I get on these rabbit trails. But when something hits you so hard, even as a Christian, that you weren't expecting, the first thing Satan does is say, you know, God don't really love you. And the only thing you're thinking about is someone who really knows. Sometimes a person says, well, please don't come in the Bible. I know the Bible. I need something more than the Bible. No, we need the Word of God. We may put it aside, but we need it then, because if it's read and it's done then, it may take 10 years later. But God will bring it up somewhere, and they say, isn't that an amazing thing? Now I understand why that happened back there. Yep. He'll do it, folks. God's alive and well. But he don't operate like men. He don't operate like people. And so when I look at this precious book, I'm seeing some great things that happen. So let's read another verse, and then we've got about 2 minutes, and we'll go. But I want you to go back to 1 John with me and watch what he says. Now, then he said, this is your joy, that your joy might be full. Now, watch in verse 5. He said, this then, is the message in which we have heard of him. He's fixing real. It's like he gave an introduction and said some things. Now, he's really going to nail it to it. This is the thing, he said, we heard of him. And declaring to you, watch this, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now listen, I believe that, don't you? What is he doing? Go back to John chapter 1 with me. In John chapter 1, you see in verse 4, he said in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Talking about Jesus Christ here. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now he's going to begin to lay the parallel of what light is and what darkness is. You can see that here. These lights light here. We see things clearly here. Everybody else sees things clearly here. If the light's out, though, it'd be different. This would be a different world if the lights were out and it was in darkness. And God said that's the way the world is spiritually. They're dead spiritually. They see nothing but darkness, even though they're alive physically. And whatever they do in this life is always on the physical level. They think they got the answer. They think they got everything. And when they go in life, it's nothing but a lifestyle of wickedness. Amen. Waxing worse and worse and worse. And when you start showing the light on it, it's like when you're in darkness and the light shines, it blinds you. Can't see anything hardly. And when a person is blind spiritually from the Word of God that brings forth the light, they can't see anything. And since they can't, they're bewildered. And Satan uses a trap to get them not to believe. If they just focus a little bit on the Word of God, God will begin to reveal the truth to them. Because this is life. What I'm saying sounds foolish to a lot of folks because they never practice that much. But it's true. Now watch what he says. Then he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, what's the next two words? We lie. Now watch, darkness is a manifestation of the way of life. Light's here because of light. Right now, where we're at, it's the way of life of the physical building being lighted up. But it's the light that did it. But that's not Jesus Christ. But that's an example of who Christ is spiritually to you and I. Well, before that, we would have that light, but if I'm not saved, that light helps me see physically here, but inside I'm still in darkness because I'm cut off from the light, who is Jesus Christ. Right. But when I have Jesus Christ, the light opens. And then suddenly I begin to see things spiritually like when we walked in here, if these lights were not on, ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't see hardly anything. We bumbled over a few. Believe me, it's dark in here at night when you don't have lights on. Cut the lights on, then we move so smoothly. When you and I get saved, we're in darkness before then. And God's light comes on and illuminates things. And then as the light comes on, you find yourself growing. You know, if we were a babe in here and come in and want no light, you couldn't see nothing. But if a babe would come in and say maybe 2 or 3 year old, 4 year old, suddenly walk in, they might say, what's that? Well, they didn't see it. What's that? You had children, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
What's that? And then next thing you know, they come back again. What's that? You told them 10 times. What's that? Well, the child of God's the same way. Spiritual babes are constantly asking God, what's that? What's that? And he wants us to get on to another place so we can explain what that is. Amen. And we have a textbook. Well, it's going to be wonderful. For me, anyhow, I hope it will for you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this book. Please give us understanding. Lord, you're looking into a world we cannot see without the spiritual eyes of God through this book. And in this flesh, there's so much that's filtered down that we miss. And even now, sometimes we have to keep saying, what's that, Lord? What's this? How do I reconcile this, Lord? You said this over here. It seems like entirely different what you said over here. Lord, what's going on? And he begins to shine the light on us. Sometimes he'll shine it on ourselves. In turn, we'll see there's some adjusting we need to do before we could ever come to that point of understanding what he means there. Because when we understand that, we're going to move forward for him. But we can't adjust where we're at now. We'll never be able to adjust there, because once we see what God is telling us, there's an adjustment to that for the glory of God. Because that which we see and grow in grace and knowledge is going to manifest. He keeps saying that we'll see in the next week. He's going to manifest that which God is doing through this veil of flesh, that we might see him in his glory even before we get to see him as he really is. John said, one day we're going to see him as he is. Hallelujah. Lord, we see you now through veils of flesh, through this eyes of spiritual understanding, the Holy Spirit revealing, trying to illuminate to our heart and mind who God is and what Christ has done. And then since we're in the flesh, failing so many places, that we lose somewhat along the way. We don't grow enough, or maybe something just seems so deep, it seems like, Lord, I just need to get away from that and find something I'd be satisfied with. Lord, don't let me get satisfied until I understand some things that I need to understand about you and what you want us to do. Bless these who come tonight. Let this be a place, Lord, that people can be blessed, because the word is given to us. That light that shines is for the joy that God wants his people to have, even in adverse circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.